Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay. Here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
And let me take the opportunity right now at 4:02 p.m. on the 29th of October.
God, okay, it's happening. Everybody stay calm.
What's the procedure?
Stay calm.
Everybody calm down.
Unlike Matt Eberflus so far after his errors on Sunday, I can point the thumb and be accountable and tell you I was wrong. And I regret that they did not find a new head coach at the end of last season and in the offseason.
Oh my God.
What kind of culture do you have when a player like Tyreek Stevenson is willing to do what he did? What kind of organization do you have when you are not pointing a thumb at yourself and being accountable while six different players now have come out and pointed fingers at you? Pointed fingers at other players, pointed fingers at themselves, and they're trying to rally the troops. This is mid-chaos and pre-mutiny.
I want to give you an opportunity to really think about this, though, before you fully point thumb at yourself.
Don't give me an out here to change my mind. I have changed my mind once. My feeling has evolved. I was wrong.
Monkey's out of the bottle, man.
What?
Yeah.
That's not even an expression.
Pandora doesn't go back in the box. He only comes out.
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Welcome in to Spiegel and Holmes. We are glad that you are here. He is Matt Spiegel. I am Lawrence Holmes. Robbie Triano is in today for Chris Tannehill. Shane is here and his hat is backwards. You can see them all on the Twitch feed as well. Twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Here's what we have planned for you today. We're going to turn the page. We're going to do it. We are going to turn the page at 3 o'clock.
Damn right. There's a new game to get ready for on Sunday. And I...
You ready?
I'm ready. I don't need to be harping on Hail Marys and bad coaching decisions on the second to last play anymore. But I do need to hear what the coach...
got one more segment of that.
I need to hear what the coach said about stuff on one final time.
Yeah.
And then he urged us towards the page turn as well.
Yes, very much so. Charles Davis will join us at 3:30. He's always terrific. Patrick Manley at 4 o'clock. Mark Grody at 5. Let's get after it then. Let's talk about what happened today at Hallis Hall, because I think everyone was wondering, like, hey, so how is this going to go? Will there be anything that Eberflus allows for publicly to talk about how badly things went? Will he acquiesce and say, yeah, I went back and looked at it and thought about it and things weren't great and I can be better, which I think a lot, that's all you really needed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
You don't have to go, you don't have to flog yourself.
No.
You can just say, you know, in hindsight is 20/20, and with a little bit of time and distance from it, I could have handled things better.
I wish we were in a different coverage on the second to last play, and that's on me. I wish we had called a timeout before the Hail Mary to make sure that everybody was focused on their jobs, because I know if we were focused on the way we've practiced that, we would have handled that. So, I mean, yeah, just something like that. It doesn't have to be, I'm an idiot, I'm a bad guy, I'm a bad coach. Nobody's looking for that, but
no.
just some sort of like, yeah.
An acknowledgement of what seems to be common wisdom on this.
Around the league, around your own team.
Yep. So why don't we hear from Matt Eberflus? He spoke earlier today. Let's first talk about how he feels about accountability.
Talking to the guys through Tuesday. And again, it's all about accountability and execution, and that starts with me. And the game didn't finish the way we wanted it to. And again, that starts with me. And we hold each other accountable that way. But again, we'll have answer for those things, and that's why we do the after-action report.
Coach, I think you've done a really good job in terms of building a culture in that locker room. But are you at all concerned, and obviously I don't know the conversations you may have with Ryan Poles or Mr. Warren, but the perception, like part of the culture, I guess, would be that you don't necessarily criticize coaches or players publicly. I don't know how you do it behind the closed doors, but the perception may become that there is no accountability, that people don't get dealt with for doing things, not only what Tyreek did, but play calls like the goal line, the Doug Kramer, all those types of things. When you have four such games like we've had the past couple of years where you've lost games that you had a really good chance to win, are you worried about that perception in terms of not having that accountability?
Yeah, you know, we do what we do in the building, you know, and there is accountability here, and we hold each other accountable to it, and that's what I know in the building. So perceptions are, you know, what they are, Herb, and I appreciate your question. But in the building, we hold each other accountable. It's about our circle and the men in the building.
Matt, when you went back and looked at the Hail Mary, in the moment, did you notice Tyreek having his back to the snap? Did anybody upstairs notice it? And if they did, why wasn't there a timeout?
Yeah, Pat. So we talked about all those things on Monday, you know, and on Tuesday, and had a private conversation with Tyreek, and I'm going to leave it there.
Why not call a timeout before that play regardless? Well, what's the logic of not calling?
Like I said,
everyone's got their assignments. Everyone knows where they should be.
Yeah. And I appreciate your question there. And again, like I said, that's part of the after action report. And, you know, we're looking at all those things, what we could do better, how could we can improve. And again, we did that on Monday and Tuesday. And those conversations are in house.
If there's not a significant and clear consequence for Tyreek, doesn't that send a message that, you know, depending on how good you are, depending on how talented you are, we'll let some things slide?
Yeah, you know, the consequences for things, you know, are, you know, we end up lost the game, right? And it's important that we now focus on Arizona, you know. And again, it was hard, no doubt. And again, we're moving on to Arizona. And I think it's important that everybody does that. And that's my job as the head coach, to get this group to move on to the preparation for the Arizona game.
I find it very hard to believe that he's taking, you know, personal accountability to his team when he can't bring himself to do it in this atmosphere. Couldn't bring himself to do it after the game and then on Monday and now, and refusing to do it. I find it hard to believe. We, of course, do not know if it's happening privately or not.
Yeah.
It's just very hard to imagine when he's so uncomfortable with pointing a thumb in any little way.
We have to offer the caveat of who knows what went on inside the building.
Got to. We try to dig. We try to talk to people and find out.
But I don't... This is just like a human nature thing. I don't understand for him why this is so difficult to do publicly when it can be done fairly easily and without him, you know, prostrating himself. You know, like it can be like in those questions and the tone of the, well, you know, I appreciate you asking the question, that's dismissive. And it's not a great look for him. And since this whole thing was supposed to be about how he's supposed to do a better job in those moments where he is the public face of the Bears, and that's the hairdo and that's the beard, there needs to be more to it than just the cosmetic makeover with him. And I'm disappointed just because it's not that difficult. And this feels like someone who is digging in for the purpose of digging in.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to be that way.
Because they're afraid that if they show any acceptance of responsibility or accountability publicly, that it weakens the way that they come off, that it weakens their power, it weakens their sense of leadership. And it's just...
But does it, though?
No, it doesn't. That's the thing, Lawrence. It's just not true that it does that. And it is this very human thing that I think most of us can relate to. You can relate to it in your marriage or in your workplace, in your groups, in your group collaboration circumstances. Like, yep, oh yeah, my bad, I screwed that up. Okay, but I won't screw it up next time. And now I got it. All right, cool. Let's go. And everybody's like, okay, good. Yeah, well, he's a human being. I understand that. Like, it's just, it doesn't have to be as hard as he's clearly making. He's clearly struggling with it. And even just to say, it starts with me. He's uncomfortable saying that starts with me. That feels so practiced. Like he decided this is the version of it that I'll give.
Right. And the idea of, and that's kind of become a catch-all in a lot of different places when there's something bad that happens, of it starts with me. And I always find it to be very hollow unless it continues with, it starts with me and here's how we're going to change it.
Go ahead and get specific, man.
And I don't even need Matt Eberflus in this particular setting to get specific on changes. I don't need to know what Tyreek Stevens' punishment is. All I need it, and I don't know if Bears fans feel the same way, I need an acknowledgement that something wasn't right.
Yeah.
And you're working on trying to make sure that it's right going forward, instead of kind of being like, well, you know, this is what we do and this is how, like, it just really rings hollow and it feels really bad.
It connects to the whole idea of, are you a real communicator? Are you like a real person who you can actually talk to and communicate with, the way that some of the people that we're seeing around the league clearly are? The Dan Quinns, the Dan Campbells, like other people who have a very clear sense of communication and leadership.
Dan Quinn has made calls in games that have cost his team games, and he has started press conferences going, guys, I messed that up.
Dan Campbell, a couple weeks ago, was like,
Dan Campbell, not Dan Quinn.
Like, I'm an idiot, I screwed that up. And then when he doesn't say that, you realize, oh no, he really doesn't think he did anything wrong here. He's not putting on an act or anything.
Yep.
Yeah.
So let's hear about Tyreek Stevenson. This is what Matt Eberflus had to say about their talks with Tyreek.
I've talked with Tyreek. Him and I had a great conversation. And again, I'll keep it there with him and I.
Tyreek, kind of start on Sunday.
Yeah, like I said, you know, I'm not going to talk about, you know, the Tyreek in terms of starting, not starting, all those things. But I will say this, that Tyreek's made a lot of plays for this group and for our defense and for our football team over the last couple years. And he's going to continue to do that. So we're behind Tyreek and we're with him all the way. And again, we'll work through this as we go.
Your system stresses discipline. It stresses the hit system. Doesn't this violate all of that? And if it does, should he be made an example?
Yeah. You know, the hits principle is based on that, you know, and you could see that coming to fruition with, you know, a lot of parts of our team. And it's important that, you know, everybody abides by that on every single play. And again, it's a high standard, and we got to do a good job with that on every single play.
What's the penalty when you don't abide by that?
Yeah. Again, like I said, it's we'll see where everything goes with that. I appreciate your question, and I understand where you're going with it. And again, I'm not going to talk about, you know, who's starting, who's not starting, all those things, those conversations we had, okay, together, individually, one-on-one.
Okay, so the middle part to me is actually pretty good by Eberflus. Like him talking about the hits principle being important and that it is something that needs to be abided by. I'm okay with that. I'm also okay. I don't want him to tell me if Tyreek is starting or not, unless it's going to be them suspending him. Like I think that does fall under game strategy, and I'm okay with him holding that part of it back.
I am too. If it's not a full game, if it's not, we're going to suspend him for a week and we're going to move ahead, which I would have been fine with, because of the depth you have and because of the message that you're choosing to send. If you end up doing something less than that, but it is something like, oh, hey, look, there's Terrell Smith out there for the first series. That's interesting. Then fine. You know, that's his right to do it. But the whole thing, again, just continues to feel uncomfortable and odd. Like the I appreciate your question is like, you know, I'm not telling you, I'm not going to let you guys in on any of the realness at all.
I mean, he could have, again, said what we just said, too, instead of the I appreciate your question. Come on, Patrick, you know that's we can't give Arizona that information. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like there are ways to even do that I don't think that he's taking full advantage of. And it's too bad.
Yeah. I hope that he made a better impression on the team this week than he's made on the public. That's for sure. And we can hold out hope for that kind of thing.
That's what I think every Bears fan within the sound of our voice, that's what they should be holding out for. That the team is going to overcome this. That they'll figure out a way to overcome. And maybe it will be dragging their head coach along for the ride in this regard. And perhaps he learned something. Maybe he learned something along the way.
as we all hope to.
Like being a good head coach.
It's a big day, man. It's a big day. The Bears turned the page. They had a walkthrough that was private. Caleb Williams spoke. Other players have spoken. Mark Grody is going to join us at 5 o'clock with a Bears hit. How many words is that? Is this just one word? It's just one, right?
No, it's the two.
Oh, okay.
You keep it as one.
Then you got a problem.
Yeah, could.
Well, but the break is after the word bear.
Yeah.
So bear, and then the second word.
Then it's...
I get
that
confused.
Deserved a rim shot.
Thank you, Chuck.
That's okay.
It's after bears.
Oh, bears.
Yeah.
That's where the break is.
That's where you want to break it.
Because two words. Yeah, it is two words.
Right.
Bears, the first word, and the second word is that.
Is hit, like the principal.
Oh, okay. Where's the S? It's the first word?
It's in the first part.
You're going to have to diagram that.
You have
for
to
me.
Move it around. Like the Soul Train, like scramble board.
Oh, okay.
You move it around a little bit.
I thought you meant like a linebacker when it's time to come around and cover the quarterback on the zone read.
The S is going to scrape over.
Oh, yeah, it's scrape. That's what I'm looking for.
And
looking
then
for the
it's
S to scrape over.
In that place.
All right, well,
is for scrape.
Keep figuring that out.
When we come back, hey, guys, the White Sox hired a manager.
Yeah, they did. It's a good one.
Will it matter?
Nice guy. Interesting guy.
We'll discuss next on the...
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Score.
I don't like our team.
Something's got to be done about that.
White Sox! White Sox! Go, go, White Sox! Let's go, go,
you got a guy! Hey, White Sox fans! You got a guy in the missing Chris Tannehill formation. We have the ardent White Sox fan and observer, Shane Reardon. And we have
Tigers fan, Robbie Triano.
And we have you, Lawrence Holmes, a man who's been on the inside of that organization at different times, knows a million people over there, a fan of the ballpark, the team.
The neighborhood,
and more. So I assume that you and Shane are excited about Will Venable. I find myself, you know, excited about Will Venable. I think that's a tremendous managerial candidate and a very nice hire.
I agree with every point that you made. Anyone that you talk to about Will, even if you just look at his resume, you go, hey, here's a guy who's ready to take the next step in their career.
Yeah, let's talk about the resume a little bit. Has been a front office guy for Theo Epstein, has been a on-field coach for Joe Maddon and Alex Cora and Bruce Bochy.
It's a pretty good list of guys to learn from.
Played in the league for a long time as a starter and then a depth guy. So he has a full knowledge of the range of baseball roles and experience.
That's going to go on inside of his clubhouse that he's going to have to manage.
Yep. He's Ivy League educated at Princeton while also being an incredible athlete from a family full of very smart people and very high level athletes as well. Father played in the league and his brother
was on the field. I don't know if people remember this. 2011, his brother was on the field for the fake return that the Bears did.
Because he's a linebacker for the Bears for 2011. He's a special teams blocker on the Johnny Knox touchdown that got called back.
He was the last blocker on that play.
Amazing.
He's not the one that got called with the hold, because that's why it came back, even though it's like the most ridiculous special teams play ever. Shout out to Dave Tobe. But yeah, his brother was on that team, so there's a lot going on here.
And he'll probably be on the show tomorrow.
His brother or Will?
Winston.
Oh, Winston.
His brother. Yeah, we talked on the phone right before the show, so he'll probably be on the show tomorrow at 3:25.
All right, that would be great.
That's really cool.
So if Will Venable is so smart, I want you both to tell me why. Why did he take this job?
That's an excellent question. Instead of waiting for Bruce Bochy to retire, which you would imagine is in the next year or two.
Which Evan Grant told the Midday Show today, hey, the thought was that Will Venable is there waiting in the wings until Bruce Bochy retires.
Last year, he turned down two different managerial interviews.
And whom else? I think was it the Marlins then too? Mm. It was definitely the Mets he turned down.
Yeah, it was the Mets and somebody else. But yes.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing, Shane.
Mm-hmm. I have an answer to that, but I want you guys to talk it out.
My worry is it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who your manager is, because if you're not going to spend money and bring in free agents, I think that Will is an automatic upgrade over what they've had. An automatic upgrade, someone who can toggle between the front office and the guys inside the clubhouse. I think he can do all of those things. But if your roster says you're a 100-loss team,
uh-huh.
I'll give you a perfect example.
Well, hold on. But what's your time horizon here? You talking about just next year? Talking about 3 years?
I don't see how they dig out of this without a significant financial investment, which I don't expect to be coming. So I'm not sure it matters who the manager is. Shane, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I don't think it does either, and I don't think that he understands really what he's getting into. I don't think he gets how far behind analytically, developmentally, that the organization is. Like, Chris Getz might have fooled him with something, but he might not know that Chris Getz was in charge of the minor league system for a little while, and he did nothing with it. Like, Project Birmingham was fun at the surface. And then Chris Getz did nothing with Project Birmingham. Your top prospect has a back that doesn't work.
I think you're right that he doesn't know exactly what he's getting into. How could he know the full depth of problems and organizational issues that are here? But let's say he's here for 3 years. Let's say he's here for 4 years, and he has an opportunity to because they're going to be terrible this year without a doubt.
I don't think anyone is projecting anything other than another 100 loss season for them,
which would be a 20 game improvement.
Right, think about that. Like, Will Venable may come in here and the White Sox only lose 100 games, and that's a 21 game improvement.
It's bigger than this year, because I've been with you. Like, the managerial hire feels small because of how ugly this thing is, how big a messy bus is, and how slow the turn is going to be.
And here's the thing.
Uh-huh.
Over on the north side, you have maybe the best manager in baseball. And because of how the roster was constructed, you fell woefully short of expectation, even with a guy who was supposedly going to make you better.
You're totally right in a one-year sample. Totally right. Does Craig Counsell, because he's so connected with what the entire organization is doing, and he's empowered as a partner in a different way than any manager ever has been over there, does Craig Counsell have a chance to make an impact over a 3 or 4 year period?
Yes.
Okay.
Wholeheartedly.
And this is why I think Will Venable does too.
Okay, but there are problems with that too. I think the cult of personality, and shout out to CM Punk, and
shout out to Living Color.
Obviously.
Somebody's reading Wikipedia.
I know, right? But considering his actual managerial resume, Craig has something that Will does not. He's got actual major league wins and respect as the guy. And he's got the money. He's got the contract to say that he's the guy. And maybe he has a willing partner. I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure that Craig Counsell shouldn't be the most the most powerful man in the Cubs organization baseball-wise.
I think he's close to it, and he will be soon.
I agree with you. With the White Sox, they're still levels.
I understand. You're absolutely right. Let me answer Shane's question of why he would come here. Because he has an opportunity here to really be a partner in a way that he was not going to be in Texas. Now, there's pluses to being in Texas. They might shed payroll, by the way, Texas is going in a way where they might be trying to, they are going to be trying to shed payroll this offseason. Who knows what big picture financial stuff he might know from talking to Chris Young.
Sure.
But I guarantee you that talking to Chris Young, who's the GM down there, and he says, hey, Chris, I've got an opportunity to help shape what the White Sox organization is going to do in terms of research and development, in terms of scouting, international scouting, in terms of all this stuff, all these departments, I've got an opportunity to really be brought in as kind of a partner. Would you ever do that for me? And Chris Young says, you know, no, I would not. As a matter of fact, no, I would not.
Well,
and then
Chris Getz has to, because he kind of
absolutely
know what he's doing.
So the opportunity for Will Venable, who's had other jobs, opportunities, and has more, is that he gets to be a part of the entire big picture of a build. That's what's appetizing
Speaks,
to him.
You're making a better argument that Will Venable should be the general manager of the White Sox than he should be the manager.
Well, he's going to be a co. He's going to be a co-boss. He's going to have a lot more collaborative power than any manager they've had down there, other than Tony La Russa, who just went right to the owner to get what he wanted.
And we have to break here, but why do you think that Will Venable was told that the White Sox will be making those analytical and research and development advances?
Because
Jerry never has. They hired one Marine.
No.
That's it.
One Marine. Remember the scoop I had?
That's all you need.
Yeah, but Speaks. No, hold on. I appreciate the scoop, but it's not enough.
But you're dismissing. No, of course not. But it's the start. And they're also doing international scouting. They are trying to do stuff. They are legitimately now trying to do stuff to get better and pivot and integrate the whole org and all of that. And he gets to be a part of all of that. And I could see how that feels exciting to him.
There's one sniper to take out the bums. That's it. They need to hire more snipers.
One Marine is usually all you need. It wasn't in this case, though, because it's the White Sox. I know there'll be plenty of people that'll be happy with our next segment. We're going to turn the page.
It's time
to the Arizona Cardinals.
That's
game,
right?
And we're gonna do that, I think, next here on The Score.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844 VA Cares. That's 844 VA Cares. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.